Winning the War Within. This is part two. You know, I talked about inner healing. In our church, inner healing, and now is the modern way of saying inner healing, soul care, is a ministry, very important ministry in our church that helps us deal with, you know, children, to help you understand, to deal with all this bad emotion inside of us. And last Sunday, I talked about inner healing. What's important is first we become very vulnerable, okay? And it is important because it opens your heart. You're opening your heart. You're being courageous to be real, okay? And you're taking the step to trust again, okay? To trust again. And healing begins as you identify the personal brokenness that's in our heart from the past. And instead of hiding it, instead of running away from it, instead of projecting it to other people around you. But here's the problem. When churches do inner healing, sometimes they stay there, okay? They make home in the brokenness. And what happens, eventually, brokenness becomes your identity, okay? But we need to understand, healing is not finished. It's not just about identifying the brokenness. We have to walk out the healing, okay? We have to walk out the healing. And to help us understand what does it mean to walk out the healing, I want to relate it with sin, okay? With sin. The Bible says we all have sin, okay? And part of brokenness is because of sin, okay? And guess what? We all are broken here. I'm broken, you're broken. And the Bible says we also all sin, okay? But when we look at sin for a Christian, okay, even though we're all sinners, for Christians, your identity is not in sin. Did you hear that? This is very important, as our identity is not in brokenness. Right? You know, because this is very dangerous if you put your identity in sin. Some churches, you know, I grew up in a church where they only focused on sin. Okay? Their favorite verse was, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Right? That's their favorite verse. And when you put your identity in sin, there's this great danger as a Christian, this great danger as a church. Our faith becomes work-based religion and not grace-based Christianity. It is shame-focused, it's guilt-driven, it becomes legalistic. That church becomes legalistic. And then there's control, there's manipulation, it becomes human-focused, what people can do, and celebrate what man and a woman can do, and forget what God has done for us. That's the problem with when sin becomes an identity. And, you know, people who just focus on all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, you know, that's all they've memorized, that verse, Romans 3:23. They never go to the next verse. Right? And all are justified freely. All are righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that came from Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, you know? So, as a Christian, our identity is not in sin, but in Christ, okay? We have to, when it is related with sin, we have to walk out discipleship, okay? We have to walk out discipleship. And what does that mean? We have to pray. We have to meditate on God's word. We have to worship God. We break down the idols in our life. We learn to live in a community, the church. We learn to love one another. And we share the gospel with the unbelievers. And we disciple the Great Commission. We disciple nations. That's walking out discipleship. Okay? We're not identifying with sin, but we're walking out discipleship. Likewise with brokenness. in Christ, we walk out healing. Okay? Our identity is not in our brokenness, but we walk out healing. You know, what does that mean? We stop judging, you forgive, you overcome the offense, you release the pain, you grow from your brokenness, you become stronger despite past brokenness in Christ. And God's people said, amen. So last week, what I said, what prevents us from walking out healing? It is the offense that we hold on to. Okay? It's the offense that we hold on to. And today, what I want to talk about, practically, how do we walk out healing when there's offense that we hold on to? Okay? There are times it's very obvious to see somebody who's holding on to offense, who's not walking out the healing. Okay? It's a person who goes from relationship to relationship. That person has inability to maintain relationship. They use anger and guilt to get people to do what they want. Okay? They blame. It is never their fault. Okay? It's always somebody else's fault. And you see that they have a wall in their heart. They don't open up, won't let you get close to them. Or they go to the other opposite side. If they hold, you know, if they're not walking out the healing, what you will see, this is very obvious, they become very self-focused. Okay? Very self-focused. They have a self-pity party. They lash out. They easily get angry and they project their issues on other people around them, you know. But what I want to focus on, there are those that's not so obvious, okay? They hold on to the offense, and it's not so obvious because they hide their offense they legalize their offense with works, okay? Did you hear what I said? They legalize the offense that they're holding on to in their heart with even good works, with good works. In the Bible, they were the Pharisees, okay? In the Bible, they were the Pharisee in the New Testament, in the time of Jesus, they were the ultimate religious people among the Jews during Christ's life on earth. They devised this intricate system of oral tradition to keep them from breaking the Mosaic law. They study the Bible. They seem spiritually mature. It seemed like the Pharisees were close to God. It seemed like they knew God. It seemed like they had a deep relationship with God. And you would think, since they worked so hard to obey God, that they would have recognized the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ and affirmed him and followed him, right? It should have been the Pharisees that should have followed Jesus. But no, they didn't obey or follow Jesus. The opposite was true. What did they do? The Pharisees were the most bitter opponents of Jesus. They carry the most offense in their heart towards Jesus. Right? And that's why this is the danger of the church. It's easy to fall into the trap of the Pharisee in the church, holding on to offense and legalizing it because we go to church. We serve. We do a lot of religious activities. And we can, you know, things that we can do to, you know. And so this is why I want to kind of teach on this. We need to walk out healing, okay, and not hold on to the offense. Now, of course, the foundation to that, but this is not what I'm going to talk about today, is forgiveness, okay? The biblical foundation to offense that we hold on to, the resentment, the bitterness, is forgiveness. And I want to encourage you to go to our YouTube page There's many messages that I did, you know, over the years, many messages that we, you know, I did on forgiveness, and it's a biblical foundation, okay, to overcome the bitterness, the resentment, the offense that we hold on to in our heart. But today, I want to, you know, focus on things that we can do to complement forgiveness. Again, forgiveness is the foundation, but today I want to talk about what we could do to complement forgiveness. Okay? Number one, put priority on the heart. Say that to your neighbor. See, on the outside, you know, what is the best barometer of your spirituality? Okay? It's not talent. Okay? It's not charismatic personality. It's not position. It's not a title that you hold in the church. It's not even your achievement. Okay? It's not even your achievement. But your heart. What's going on inside of you. That's the barometer of your spirituality. You know, what's the barometer to my spirituality? It's not that I preach on Sunday, but what's going on inside of my heart. The Pharisees did not care about their heart, what was happening in their heart, what was in their heart. See, they had bitterness, they had resentment, they had jealousy, there was envy, there was lust, there was selfish ambition. But they thought it was okay. Why? Because I attended a meeting in the synagogue, so I am okay. I went to a prayer meeting, so I am okay. I taught the Torah, so I am okay. I gave a sermon, so God is pleased with me. I led worship and people were blessed, so I am right with God. I prophetically ministered to someone and they cried and they were so blessed. So God is pleased with me. Now, what does the Bible say about a heart? Our heart. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart. Okay? For everything you do flows from it. Psalm 51, verse 16 to 17. You do not delight in sacrifice. You know, here's the king saying this, king of Israel, who, you know, went to the temple, who went to the tabernacle almost daily to pray there. Right? Do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offering. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise. This psalm was written when finally David was honest about his heart and he didn't realize all the brokenness that was there. That's when he realized the brokenness was there. And that's what he offered to the Lord. And the Pharisee, this is what Jesus said about the Pharisee. And Jesus rebukes them in Matthew 23, verse 26. Blind Pharisee, because you don't care about what's going on in your heart, you are blind. You think you know more than anybody else about God, about what they need, but you are blind. First, clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. You spend so much time cleaning the outside of the cup, and you don't care about what's going on, that's not the right way. First, clean the inside of the cup. In Matthew chapter 12, and then in that chapter, shows the danger of the religious people who hold on to offense. See, what happened in that chapter, Jesus' disciples were hungry, and they began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. Guess what? On the Sabbath. And what did Jesus do on the Sabbath? He healed a man with shriveled hand on the Sabbath. And, you know, here's the danger of holding offense in the heart. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 14, this is what it says. After that, because Jesus healed on the Sabbath, Because the disciples were eating heads of grain, picking the heads of grain on the Sabbath because they were hungry. The Bible says the Pharisee went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. See what the bitterness does to you? That was going on in their heart. They should have been worshiping Jesus. They should be following Jesus. Huh? But instead, they spend their time trying to figure out how to kill him. Right? They have so much offense, so much bitterness, resentment, jealousy, envy in their heart. Even though their life was filled with religious activities, instead of worshiping, obeying, and following Jesus, they wanted to kill Jesus. Okay? Number two, speak life-giving words. Say that to your neighbors. Okay? Matthew chapter 12, verse 22 to 24. Okay? Matthew chapter 12, verse 22 to 24. Yeah, I put out very plain graphic, but Sue put nice graphic in there. Thank you. Matthew 12, verse 22 to 24. Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisee heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons." In Matthew 12, again, the Pharisee held the offense in their heart. And how did it come out? Not in violence, okay? That's not what you do in church, okay? In synagogue. Not in aggression. But the way it came out in the Pharisee was kind of like passive-aggressive, the way the bitterness comes out. The offense came out in slander. Okay? The offense came out in slander. Right? And we need to understand biblically what it means, okay? That what power we have in our tongue. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and death." Okay? The tongue has a power of life and death. When you go to James chapter 3, it talks about our tongue, you know, the words that come out of our mouth. Right? It's like a bit that's in a horse. Right? And what does the bit do? It can direct where you want the horse to go. The Bible describes our tongue as a rudder of a big ship. Right? And it could steer this big ship wherever it needs to go. And so what comes out of our mouth, right, is very powerful. If you speak bitter things, what's it going to do to your life? You will become a bitter person. If you critical things come out of your mouth, you will become a critical person. If you speak evil, you will become evil. Okay? But if you speak truth, you will become a person of truth. If you speak encouragement, you will become a person of encouragement. And James chapter 3 talks about how this small spark that's in the great forest, that small spark burns the whole forest. Okay? Proverbs says our words can build a whole city or it can ruin it. Okay? Our words have power, and the power to do tremendous good or tremendous damage. There was a saying that I grew up with: stick and stone may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's a lie. Children, what hurts you most is in your school, the words that you hear. Right? The words. Some of the words, negative and hurtful words I heard as a child, affected me for many, many, many years. I used to ride skateboard in junior high, right? Anyway, I fell a lot. I fell, broke my finger, broke, you know, scratch and stuff. You know what? It didn't, once it's healed, I was fine. But some of the words, hurtful words that I received affected me emotionally, mentally for many, many years. Yeah. So, you know, years ago, I was serving at another church. I was experiencing burnout. You know, there was a lot of spiritual attack. I was discouraged. I wanted to give up. I really wanted to quit the church and just run away, you know. But there was a pastor who visited the church, and he just looked at me. And he took my hand. He looked into my eyes. You know, and this is what he said. You are God's champion. Right? You are God's champion. And you know what happened? Instantly, the discouragement lifted. The spiritual attack stopped. The depression melted away. The hopelessness was gone. And I was, my heart lifted up. And that was the turning point for me. That was the turning point to get out of that dark tunnel, that darkness, and into the light. You know, and so in the church, again, how do you overcome practically? How do you complement, you know, forgiveness? Well, speak life to one another. Okay? Speak life to one another. Speak life to the people that you have a hard time with. Speak life. Amen? Okay? Number three, focus on spiritual battle of the mind. Say that to your neighbor. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Okay? The weapon we fight with are not the weapon of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish stronghold. And what does, you know, in the context that stronghold, what is that stronghold? We demolish arguments and every pretension that set us up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. What this passage is saying, spiritual battle happens in your mind, in your thoughts. Okay? In your mind, in your thoughts. It's a, you know, this passage talk, it has a lot of battle wars, waging wars, weapon, fight, stronghold, demolish, take captive. And verse 5, it says we demolish argument. That's your thought. Every pretension, that's your thought. That set us up against the knowledge, that's your thought of God. And we take captive, and if you didn't get it, it's just, you know, just, okay. If you didn't get it up to this point, it's like every thought, okay? We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, the greatest spiritual battle when you have offense in your heart will happen in your mind. Did you hear that? Will happen in your mind. It is with arguments. It's with, the Bible here says, pretension, knowledge, and every thought. Another word, when you have offense, your imagination will go wild. That's the spiritual battle. Okay? Your imagination will go wild. There are people that I have known for many years, and I see that now clearly. You know, there are people that I have known for many years. There's relationship, there's trust, there's openness, that we went through a lot together. But you know what's going to happen? Okay? When there's offense, okay, you're going to go through a spiritual battle. Okay? When you hold, you know, it, that, and this is going to happen in relationship. It happens in marriage. It happens in your relationship with your children. It happens with brothers and sisters in the church. As we work together, you'll get offended, okay? Because we're not perfect. But the battle is not with that flesh and blood, but it's in the imagination, okay? Once the offense happens, the judgment will grow. And you start thinking, I'm thinking, what kind of imagination comes out? You know, he was never really trustworthy, okay? The past relation was all fake. You know, it was all facade. He never really was my friend. He never really cared for me. He only cared about himself. What happened? You knew that person for many years. You had good relationship. There was trust. There's working. And all of a sudden, you can't trust him or her. You're going through spiritual battle. You're going through spiritual warfare. And what happens, the history you had with that person changes. You don't see good anymore. Eventually, it becomes all bad. What is happening? You are under spiritual attack. When we say, you know, as a Christian, we, you know, you look at different people, you know, the world, we see deception in the world, we see corruption, we see a corrupt people, a deceptive people, leadership that's deceptive and corrupt. We see government that's deceptive and corrupt. As a Christian, we get upset, we point it out, you know, and we go against it, right? But when it comes to the battle of your mind, there's deception, there's corruption in our thoughts. We don't get upset. We don't point it out. We don't go against it. We don't put up any resistance. The way we think, I thought it, so it must be true. It came to my mind, so it must be true. We don't battle it. We just agree with it. We accept it. And then we give lies power over our life. The Bible tells us that we need to take the battle of our mind very seriously. Okay? It says, take captive every thought. Take captive every thought. And this passage gives us the good news. The Bible says that we have divine power. Say to your neighbor, you have divine power. The weapon we fight with are not the weapon of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish stronghold. Okay? You and I are born into battle, and we didn't ask for it. The good news, you were born to win this spiritual battle. We're born again to win this spiritual battle. You see, the devil isn't afraid of you and me. He is afraid of who is in you, Jesus Christ. And in Christ, you don't have to be afraid of the devil. You are on the winning side of this war. Right? We're going to be victorious. We're going to overcome. Right? We identify our brokenness, but we're not going to stay there. Okay? We're going to fight this spiritual battle and overcome. And we're going to walk out healing. And God's people said, amen.